We've got two outfits. We've got two chances to wow. Plot twist, both flaming hot garbage.
Hello!
What is up?
Welcome to Cliffhangers.
Yes. We are your friendly neighborhood lovers of all things drag with the unofficial, unrequested, and unhinged Drag Race podcast.
Yes, our toe curl and virgin season, and we will be discussing season 2 of Drag Race UK. So jump on in with us.
Ahoy. We just want to say a quick disclaimer about Cliffhangers. We are super fans of drag in all of its form, and we are only here to uplift queer art. So we're just taking a little leaf out of our hero, the Boulay Brothers book, and nobody gets to critique what your fantasy is. No one at all.
Exactly. Our number one rule here is that the only people getting laughed at is us. Anyone doing drag is already a star, and nothing we say is going to change or discredit that, as much as we may try.
Okay, so let's get into episode 2.
Let me introduce to you Monsieur Barney Evans, the skid mark on your tanga brief.
And Miss Lukey Luck, she's like if a newborn's foreskin was wearing false eyelashes.
So it was Bimini and Joe Black in the lip sync. Bimini sent Joe home, and our lovely winner was Tina Mandela.
Yeah, I imagine the goddaughter of Nelson.
Isn't that his mum?
Much to the dismay of everyone on, well, basically anyone living and breathing, people were not happy about Joe Black going home, were they?
No.
Already, but I tell you what, banger of a first episode, let's be real.
Yeah, very, very good. I feel like this could be the best season ever, but maybe we're biased.
Oh, 100%. No, absolutely the best season. What, of Drag Race full stop?
Yeah. Everyone's talking about
it. I said
what
I said. Get into it. So let's say, first of all, Bimini, very quick to wipe off that message. That's some me energy.
Got to move on, haven't you?
Absolutely.
I liked it when she was like, I'm used to washing cars. And then Ginny Lemon was like, rim jobs.
Bringing the highbrow humour, Ginny Lemon. I have really hoped this gives her the boot up the arse. Listen, I'm going to call it now. She's a final girl for me.
Who?
Bimini.
Oh, right, sure, sure. 100%.
Like, even in just one episode, I was like, she's a star.
She is
a star. So I really hope this gives her... I feel like when people go in the bottom early, sometimes it's like, oh damn, we're really playing for real. Mm-hmm. So, and then they really get booted up the arse. I hope that's them.
Well, yeah, because obviously everyone going in thinks they are the shit and that's why they're there.
Yeah, 100%.
I thought maybe they're giving Astina a bit of the Violet edit. That kind of full of confidence, young, coming in, winning the first thing.
And then the winner.
Well, and then just sort of ruffling people's feathers with being that cocky about the win.
Can I quickly just make a note as well that we are East London Queens, and in the background you can hear the East London Overground. That is the Overground rattling away behind us. But we thought, you know what, it makes us more relatable.
Very urban of us as
truly.
Well,
truly. Also... What I did write down is that Astina being emotional was quite humbling, but then she giveth, she taketh away.
When was she being humble?
She was just like, I'm just feeling really emotional. And I was like, oh, okay, we're going to see a different side to her here where she's really getting in touch with her emotions. And she's like, I deserve to win. It's like, oh, no.
Yeah, everyone else needs to step their pussies up.
Like, I remember that.
Oh, okay, all right.
I think one thing very important to point out is Uhura seemed pressed.
Panini, yeah,
absolutely
for sure.
Pressed, didn't she? I'm going to say that something very early on, which is just a worry of mine, but I'm not sure Astina helped herself with that conversation. I think it's very good to push the point like early on that it's like, I am a competitor and I'm someone you should be worried about. Love that for them. But as we have seen in the history of Drag Race, they are so quick to give Black Queens like a villain edit, which I can, I'm worried that it's already happening a bit with Astina. I don't think at all that she's serving you arrogance, personally. I think she's serving you like supreme confidence because she knows what she's bringing. But I think that they are very quick at, well, maybe the BBC edit won't be as gross as World of Wonder. But they're so quick to tag on that onto specifically Black Queens. And you've seen with people like the Vixen, with Silky, with different
people. Nina,
even. Yeah. And I'm worried, I'm hopeful that the BBC wouldn't play like that, but I don't want to see her have the villain edit because no one deserves it, but I don't think it's remotely called for with her.
In her case, it's a lot more.
I've earned my diva shit.
100%. 100%. Wow, that really sounded like that was you then. That was very chilling.
So it is a new day in the workroom. I love Uhura coming in and going, it's called fashion, get used to it. I feel like we say that all the time.
Especially when you're just sort of like literally sitting in your pajamas, like, get over it, honey. When Astina said, watch your wigs, that was a fantastic moment for me, because I was like, what is she threatening here? Is she going to cut them up? Is she going to steal them? Like, I haven't really seen fantastic wigs from her yet, so.
Maybe that's just the drag version of watch your back. So, yeah. Watch your wigs, see?
Watch your wigs. I think it was evident that there was really some clear tension around the table when they first got in the room, and they were chatting away like, Ginny Lemon, is she, I can't believe for a second I even thought that Ginny Lemon wasn't going to be for me. She's quickly my favourite person in the whole thing. Like, she is she really came back. I mean, the grimace that she did to Lawrence was like, that will really stay with me. But
they're sort of back and forth about having played out jokes and stuff.
Ginny Lemon in her lovely cat eye glasses was really giving me the slug from Monsters, Inc. You know, Mike Wazowski. Yeah, very.
We're thinking of weird, creepy monsters.
Are you going to mention Ellie and Sister's elf ears?
I really don't like it, Kat.
Oh my God, I did not like it.
I loved it. That's the sort of strange nuance that I live for. Just like, no one even mentioned it. Never brought up. It's like, what, two of you are in elf ears?
They're probably wearing tails as well that we couldn't see.
Oh, a lovely festy tail.
I was really into Bimini's workroom look. It was very kind of an off-duty, like Tina from S Club at a meet and greet or something.
Absolutely.
You got your bandana, you got your loose trousers.
I want to skin her alive and go to her mum's birthday party in that outfit. Like, she is absolutely... I just wrote, what about Bimini's mental little outfit? And the body... Like, in and out of drag, you cannot fault it.
Well,
I wouldn't.
She's a yogi. She's East London's bendiest
bitch. Well, she's a vegan, isn't she?
Oh, well. The
body that plant-based diet
the
built.
The body that Satan made.
Truly. So we get introduced to our mini challenge. Any challenge where they have to vote, like, who's shadiest and stuff is like, I'm like, yes. Absolutely straight away. I was like, this is a fantastic mini challenge. And also, I just want to shout out to as well, you do see this a bit in the American, but the UK being much better in every single way is only proven by how diverse our Brit crew is. We've seen three members of the Brit crew so far, and it's shown diversity, and that's what we want to see. Although in US we did have a trans man, and we'd very much like to see that as well.
Yeah.
A non-binary folk.
I like a lot of the American pit crew, got to say. Got soft spots for a lot of them.
You do.
I do.
You notice them way more than me, which is, what? Worrying. One of the best moments for me is when Tia was like, sorry, can I just get a reminder? Who said my wigs were thirsty? And then every single person said.
But she...
Congratulations. You played yourself.
She is quite a trooper at being able to take it when it comes
I mean, she's
her.
Got to. When you come in that crunchy, munchy, thirsty, cursy wig, you've got to. I think is now a very important time to... We need to mention Tace and Uhura. Bum buddies.
Is that how we call it these days?
It's that bumper cars with the gays. You're just going from one to the other, aren't you?
Well, yeah, because first Uhura brought it up, and then later when she mentioned it in front of Tace, and Tace's face was kind of like...
I really felt like that was something maybe she didn't want brought up on the BBC, but here we are. And I'm going to call it first. I think Uhura's in love with Tace. There, I said it.
Oh.
If I know gay love like I know gay love, and that's basically all built on one viewing of Call Me By Your Name, I feel like she loves her.
That's very nice of you, isn't it?
So I said what I said. But Sister Dick will make you sick, as Willem told you. So exactly. You've got to be careful with that.
Okay, so the categories that they need to vote for are Secretary of Shade.
Yeah.
The Trade Minister. The Leader of Lording It Up, which I'm glad they said was cockiest, because really, no idea what that means. And Baroness Basic.
Yeah, Basic. Okay, so first of all, who would you have voted for? Let's go for Shade.
Obviously a horror.
I mean...
I call Shade.
I mean, she is the queen of shade. There's absolutely no denying it, really, is there?
No.
Who would you have gone for trade? I think very objectively, Astina is the best looking.
Yeah.
I think Tace is gorge, but I think that because Astina won, and because I think people have trouble admitting someone's fit if they know that they're fit, because it's like, I don't want to add to that fire.
Yeah, especially if you don't like them or whatever. So I'm not giving you any credit.
Do you think that's why people don't say you're fit all the time?
So I think just because they are speaking truthfully.
Because they see you.
Yeah, I probably have to agree. I can't picture anyone else being fitter in my mind.
So who would you have gone for the cockiest? I thought this
Astina.
Was a... Yeah, I was going to say. One thing that's really interesting about the difference between what you see in like the interviews and their like public-facing drag, like what the judges are seeing and what the other queens are seeing is just like, clearly in their interviews, they're going so hard and they're really showing you a different version of themselves, because if they could see Astina's interviews compared to Lawrence's, Lawrence sitting there just like crying about how insecure they are compared to
Sorry,
Astina.
Not laughing at that.
No. But like, yeah, I felt like that was a wild one. And then Baroness Basic.
It's got to be shout out to Miguel Tia Maria.
I was going to say this. I was surprised he didn't say it, and won by a landslide. yeah, absolutely Tia. But I felt like when Tia did win this, she took it so well.
Yeah.
I was just really surprised. Like, I couldn't believe that Tace was like, oh, I really don't think of myself that way. Because I was like, obviously you're like 6 foot and gorge. Like, that was just really surprising. But as we're seeing with a lot of the queens, they really have body dysmorphia and they're not seeing themselves how the world sees them.
Well, if you literally look like the most beautiful like creature in the world, when you take your makeup off, you're going to feel like you are not.
Sure. So then we are introduced to the main challenge, which is our first live singing challenge. Luki, how would you feel if you had to do a live singing challenge?
I think it'd be hilarious. I would have more fun with the singing because I don't think of myself as a singer in any way.
More so of just, a Bimini performer.
Yeah. I would be, yeah, choreo freaks me out more than the thought of having to like sing live.
Well, finally, Charlie Hides gets to prove his factless statement that actually we don't really lip sync because everyone sings live in the UK. Charlie Hides, thoughts. So Ms. Basic Tia Coffee then gets her own back and gets to decide who is going to be what roles in the musical. Now, would you be tactical doing this?
I think tactical can come back to bite you in the arse, because if you've assigned it poorly... Then
and you're not into a little bite on the arse.
Big bite. I'm impressed with how she handled all of this. What she did very fairly. If people were like adamant they wanted a role, she's like, go on then, prove it.
Yeah, 100%.
And I thought she was very fair and just seemed like a good egg.
It just makes so much more sense to just be like, I want the musical to be as good as possible. Like,
yeah, because if one person says shit, then it makes the whole thing shit. So
and also
shit.
As well, you're the person that cast it. So if you're like, oh, I'm going to give this one, I don't think they'll do well in that. Then they'll be like, who the fuck casted this piece of garbage? And then obviously you're going to get blamed. So it always confuses me when people are like, oh, I'm going to really screw them over by giving them this. It's like, you're also shooting yourself in the
foot. Yeah, for sure.
What about that question when Tia was like, right, so who can sing? That is, as a professional musician and singer, that is a mental thing to admit to. If I was on Drag Race and they were like, who can sing? I'd be like, yeah, I can sing. I wouldn't be like, I am a professional singer. Did you see that meme that was like, with Davina DeCampo? Yeah. It's like, find me anyone that's got 15 years of musical experience. Then cuts to Veronica Green and it's like, I have 15 years of musical theatre experience. Fantastic.
I'm glad Veronica stood up for herself in that.
Same.
Against old Cheddar.
Do you think she delivered?
Yeah. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
What I was going to ask you is, do you think Cherry would have gone home if she was given that role?
Cherry goes home.
What? Haven't you seen it?
Now, I feel very conflicted about this because when I was watching it, I was like, that's the energy that I would bring. I would remember that it was a competition, so I would fight for it more. But I feel like that's the best way to be, to just like stand in the knowledge that you're like, I can do everything. Maybe we find out later that she can't do everything, but I felt like her reaction to being like, I'm not going to scrap for this. Like, if you so desperately need it, but obviously, as we find out later in the episode, that's not really the right reaction to have at all, was it? How did you feel?
Well, I kind of thought it was weird her, like, Veronica's, like, listing off her full IMDb CV. Mm. And then Cherry's kind of like, that doesn't mean anything, though. But, I mean, it kind of does.
It does if you're a professional musical theatre performer, which Veronica Green is.
Professional like, musical theatre challenge.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, like, it would be nice to see how Cherry would have done that role, if maybe that would have saved her. But who knows? I was quite worried about old Veronica at this point because... You know when someone's feeling super confident and super happy and it feels like, do you know what, babe? It's probably your episode, isn't it? And then it's just like...
Do you know what I loved, which we don't do enough at all? When they were like, snaps for? what do you need to be doing snaps for?
I can't snap.
Very poetic justice. Okay, I can do two for us.
Thank you.
thought we should definitely... get that into our wheelhouse. Lawrence, very shaky on the ability. Do you know what? He gives me real Eureka vibes. I'm not saying that because they're both large queens.
He reminded me of Urethra because it's full of piss.
You know that sort of, they're very loud and they're very funny, But obviously it's a clear mask for actually like they are quite insecure. Mm-hmm. And I just worry, you did call it in the beginning, Mystic Meg herself. I do worry for his stability within the competition just because for me personally, you know, obviously when he had that great line where he was like, I'm gay, I should be able to sing and dance. Yeah. Also, spotless Scottish accent there, no? You can head to my spotlight if you'd like. I felt like that was quite worrying because I feel like as a performer, if you're getting that upset about singing and dancing in also in a group, like it wasn't even like he was on his own. He obviously doesn't have a lot of confidence in his looks. And then also in the performing side, I feel like for someone that is already such like a beloved and front runner queen, I really wish that his confidence would catch up with how the world sees him.
Mm. So I am obsessed with Ahura in the confessionals.
She's, oh my God, Debbie Desperate.
My favorite. I was like, it's diarrhea, isn't it? Then it looks to camera. Yeah, fit in. That's obsessive with the Queen's breaking the fourth wall. Astina's been doing that.
Yeah,
as well.
When Astina. Oh, I love that. Very Brechtian. I thought that Bimini, as always, you know, this is the Stan account, like, just had the real right idea if you're not a singer. They're like, look,
yeah.
I'm going to be giving you that hot, hot energy and I'm going to put everything in speech quality. Like, just. That's the right way to go.
Yeah, you said if you can't perform it how you think it should be, you mean to make it into a character that you can really get.
Yeah,
into.
For sure. One person that I really thought did this, Astina. I can sing, I can act, and then when it came to it, it was like baseless claims. Personally, and I think it's much better to just be like, do you know what? Like, I'm not great at this, but what I am great is making things fit me and watch me give you energy and character. And for me, Bimini was one of the highlights of the musical. Mm-hmm. And I just think that they had absolutely the right energy for the whole thing. And also, shout out to Ellie, who I thought had quite a decent dip.
Well, I was going to say.
I thought it was going to be quite embarrassing, but it was fine.
I would like to see anyone else try and fucking do a dip in like skin tight skinny jeans.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like, obviously he's not giving you Laomi, but it was, I thought it was less embarrassing than I was fearing.
The most embarrassing part.
Are you not embarrassed?
Was just the fact that he needed sort of like 20 counts to prepare.
Yeah.
Right, tap, 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 I'm getting in the zone. Come on, three more minutes.
Rah, ta, ta, ta. Yeah, absolutely. But also, my biggest takeaway from this is like, you are on Drag Race. You are on season two, which is all killer queens, no filler queens. Like, the standard is so high. Fuck letting people take your roles. I don't get it.
Like, I don't understand.
I don't understand. It is mental to me. Like, you are in a competition. I get that you want to keep people sweet, but you don't have to do it in a rude way. You would be like, look, I really think I'd be good at this role and I feel very confident that I'd be able to do this well for the group. And you stand your ground. Like, I just feel like so many of them were just like, oh, you just tell me which one.
They should have auditioned for it then. Tia could have. Like, you know, she was like, let's hear it, Veronica. Like, Cherry then should be like, go on.
But when it got to, like, I would say, like, the final five parts, they were all just, like, sitting back, just, like, waiting for Tia to tell them. Mm. Like, there was no sort of, like, hunger for, like, I actually think that, like, this would translate very well to my drag character. Like, I just didn't feel, like, bite from quite a few of them in the way that had been shown and displayed in, like, the beginning of it when people
Maybe that was just a lot longer and they just cut it down. There's a lot more discussion that we didn't
Very
see.
Our podcast.
Very that. Let us tell you, last week, we spoke for over 5 hours.
And if you couldn't tell by the end, we kind of wanted it to be like a sit down with your gals over a cup of tea, not us huffing glue. Like, we literally by the end, yeah, we'd had a couple of drinks, we were slurring, we cut out a lot of swearing and a lot of slurring, but this week nothing but professionalism from us. So as we head into the main challenge, then we go into rehearsal, which is always one of my absolute favorite bits. So we head in. Also, did you peep that Michelle was in a lovely Union Jack slingback?
I thought it was a mule.
A mule?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
Fuck my joke.
It's called fashion. Look it up. so she was, sorry to interject there. Yes, that was Michelle and Dane Chalfin leading the vocal training there.
Oh, gorgeous. Didn't you think that the rehearsal seemed really nervous? Obviously, it's their first like big group rehearsal, but I felt like everyone was on tenterhooks.
Oh, I thought the rehearsal was hopeful, nothing that couldn't really be sorted, and maybe that was giving us a full sense of security.
Yeah, I don't think it was at the expense of like the performances or anything, but I felt like when they were all lining up, I could really feel their nerves.
Mm.
But nerves are good, personally, in my... Loved the... really feel like you're rubbing from the vowels and giving to the consonants.
I loved that!
Yeah!
Yeah, I'm going to use that in all my singing from that one.
Bimini, the best energy, always.
She did what needed to be done.
Absolutely. Even though obviously I deeply love a whore, I'm going to have to call out, I really, really hate, this is very community Amdram theatre, when people are like, I can't really get into the character until I'm in the costume. It's like, that's weak dick energy.
I just put
for
that
me.
Down to nerves, just like, I know, scared to it's, lose it, well,
it's, yourself. It's, yeah, 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 it's lack of confidence. Mm. But it's what you're really seeing a lot from these queens, which is endearing and humbling, is that the character that they bring to the stage, like, is a real character, because a lot of them really lack confidence as in their boy drag, which is surprising.
But let me cast your mind back to Drag Race season 2.
I'm casting
Ms. Tyra in the burlesque challenge, in
the other Tyra.
The other Tyra in the basically pole dancing challenge that they had Dita Montez judge.
Oh, yeah.
She, in the rehearsal, she was like, nah, I'm doing it. And then on the night, just absolutely killed it. It was one of the favourites. So, like,
but that was less because she's not confident, more just because she was a bitch.
Either way.
She just couldn't be asked.
She wasn't performing in rehearsals and we got worried for her. And then...
Yeah, shout out to Tyra, love her.
Are you okay? Are you still setting fires or was that just a scam?
Blink once if you are okay.
Okay, so if we do a little step ball change into the dance rehearsal led by Jay Ravel and
who was
Kieran
so fit.
Ward.
I'm just going to say, I really think that the energy that Taste brought to the dance rehearsals, like, straight away, like, that'd be fucking you up.
I just thought Bimini was absolutely born for that role.
Oh, so good.
Our friend was like, she's seen The Prodigy live, and she was like, yes, 100% she's channeling the late, great Keith Flint and everything that he embodied.
Astina was really eating her words, though, which I noticed. Like, I get that it's probably like a real overload to having to not only get the dance down, and also as well, everyone's terrified in that studio. So you probably feel the expectation. It's very self-sabotaging. Like, you probably feel the expectation more than anyone else cares about because you know that you've said it. So you're like, I have to really kill on this. And what I couldn't believe is, I'm sure you're going to have something to say about this, how prominent Tia's speech impediment is when she sings, but you don't notice it when she talks.
I did not notice that actually.
She was literally just like, S-s-s-s-s-s-s-s-s-s-s-s-s-s. It was like so prominent, it was crazy. And I just thought, it's maybe they've like really got hold of it in their speech, but then really comes out in the singing.
But isn't it normally the opposite if you've got like a stammer?
Are you thinking
something?
Of Gareth Gates?
I'm thinking of the king, the king's speech.
True.
What was actually making me crease my fucking head off was just a shot of Veronica in a proper like pin-up pose. She had like her legs open, hands on hips, looking behind her. But the top half of her body is just like hoodie and a short head. And then she just had these like
legs.
Very, very long lady legs underneath. It was like, you know, those books where you can like change the top.
You know that Family Guy cartoon where it's Peter Griffin, all long legs, and it looks like Wendy Williams. It was a bit that.
Very that.
Again, you called it. First episode, Lawrence feeling very unstable in this. I get that it's like such a pressure cooker, but like Tay said, it's only episode 2 and they're really, really breaking down very soon.
But that's easy for Tay to say when it's like a dance challenge.
And to be honest, I feel like Lawrence would feel a bit better if they took them biscuit kickers off their feet, to be honest. Did you see what they were wearing?
They were old maiden type of shoes.
Truly, what a lovely 2.5-inch T-bar shoe for the dance rehearsal. I don't think.
I felt for Lawrence, as you know, I'm known to have a tantrum in a dance rehearsal.
I have been present.
There was one time when we were meant to be doing Dancing for Glastonbury, and then I was just like, I can't do this one particular move. Like, do you know what? I'm just not going to go. You can go without me.
And also just to say that Glastonbury is like one of the highlights of your year every year.
So I get
really cutting
feels.
That nose off despite the face.
If you feel that like everyone's getting something and you're the
and
one
that nose has
not.
Been cut enough as it is.
Wow, you just can't stop cutting me off today, can you?
Very Trixie Mattel energy.
Very that. Yeah.
That means that you're the catcher though, which is very cute.
Fine. But yeah, basically I understand how it feels to feel that. And then you like, it sort of puts you in your head even more and it is very frustrating. So I feel his pain, but
true,
same as that, we can't have no crying at the discotheque.
Exactly. I was very with Sister on this that is later brought up. I feel like whilst I completely understand, it was really giving me flashback to Miss Fame. Should I not talk about how I feel? It's like,
I
not
feel like
now.
We're dating.
Yeah. It's like, not now. I get that people might be feeling a little insecure. This might be out of their comfort zone and it might be stressful. But what we don't want is basically fucking up the rehearsal. Like, you have limited time with the professional and that time is for everyone and not just for you.
Yeah. And if you're working in a group in any form or way and there's someone who for whatever reason is just changing like the atmosphere. Like, it does affect everyone.
Yeah, 100%. And I didn't feel like that was a moment where they could, like, sort of instill sisterhood. Do you know what I mean? It's like, we all need to be professional now. We can't stop and build you up because we have shit to do. So that was, I thought that was a difficult moment. Then we head back to the mirrors as they're getting ready before the final runway for the mirror chats, which, again, always great. One of my first notes was, Ahura fancies Tace. I'm sorry, this is the hill I would die on.
Oh, sure. So this is when she says it in front of Tace, and then it kind of gets a bit more out in the open.
It's cute, at least, that Tace, like, obviously, they've been there, but Tace, they've got a soft spot for each other. I'd like to see a real, rather than the bullshit that we were fed with Brooklyn Heights and Vanjie, I'd like to see a real sister-on-sister relationship. Maybe sister-on-sister-on-sister.
Sister?
And you get, yeah, you get...
Sister, sister, sister,
third wheel, yeah. One thing that I really loved, this was a poignant moment, but it was actually quite heartbreaking, I think. It was Cherry bringing up about her traveller background. And I thought it was a really interesting piece of their identity to hide. And obviously they're speaking about it now on a national platform, but they were saying that Cherry doesn't talk about it. And I just think that was a really heartbreaking reminder that you already have, like, a lot of people have this first hurdle to, obviously your drag career is full of hurdles about, like, public perception. But, like, first and foremost, a lot of drag performers, especially on Drag Race, are dealing with being queer. And then on top of that, you have the stigma that is attached to being a drag queen. And it's just a heartbreaking reminder of, like, intersectionality, like, really prohibits this freedom of expression. Like, you see this, like, celebration of people being them, but it's like there's so many barriers that people face. And that's something that's never been brought to the forefront for how the traveler community views drag. And I thought that must be so empowering for fans of drag that are also from the traveler community to see and be spoken about on a public platform. But it was really, that really got me, that bit.
I loved that little chat. It was very cute. And I liked sister asking, like, am I, is it okay to call you Gypsy? It's like, yeah, you get your words in order. It's good to know.
Absolutely. And I feel like sister is a real sister. Do you know what I mean? I really feel like a care that comes from sister. Again, with Lawrence later, she seems like, and you could see
she's a girl's girl.
She is a true girl's girl.
So before we head onto the main stage and check out Rats the Rusical, let's have a quick little break.
Okay, sis, let me tell you, the waist, she's on Snatched. The mug, she is beaten for the gourds. Now you just need that one last thing to remind the haters. I am 100% that biatch.
Well, let me spill the true tea, hunty. You're gonna need some fierce weave on your head to make yourself look sensational.
Shablam! So if you want to work the house down boots, yes, God, mama, then you better get yourself to www.trufflepigwigs.co.uk.
That's right, all you crazy cuckoo cunts, and enter code CLIFFHANGERS for a greedy bottom discount of 15%.
Because there's only room for one diva in this town.
It's that time again for us to shout out one of our favourite fellow queer businesses here on Cliffhangers. And this week it is the babes over at What a Drag UK. That's Dom and Brad. Shout out to them. What a Drag is your one-stop shop for amazing quality eyelashes, lace front wigs. They've also branched out into makeup palettes and brushes, which everyone is eating up. They have free UK delivery on orders over £40. They have Klarna. They have worldwide shipping. You know them, we love them. So they are currently running an amazing competition, which is going to run until Thursday, the 28th of January. So you still have a few days to head over to What a Drag and enter this competition. Very, very simple rules. All you need to do is head over to @WhatADragUK, their Insta, and you need to like the post about the competition. You need to tag 3 mates and then just share the post to your story and just tag both What a Drag and also Official Miss Peaches, who is a legendary Scottish queen, and she has basically styled a What a Drag wig with a topper on as well. So you're getting this amazing double stack wig. That is for the competition. It's definitely something you're going to want to snap up. So head over to What a Drag to enter the competition.
And we're back.
Back again.
If everybody could please take their seats, turn their phones on silent as the Rusical Rats is about to start.
Please keep your hands inside of the vehicle at all times. We are first introduced to Ms. RuPaul Charles, who is in a lovely sort of brown leather milfoy look.
Yeah, loved it. I thought this is a kind of a much more classic sort of Matthew Anderson in his peak style RuPaul look. We got the updo, just a lovely bit of leg on the gal.
Does Zordi do all her dresses for UK as well? I'm guessing that she only really wears is Klein Epstein Parker or Zordi for everything.
I believe so, yeah.
Love her in that ginger hair as well.
Always.
So gorgeous. That's my favourite.
Yeah.
Favourite colour hair in her. Love that Alan Carr's back.
Love him so much.
A national treasure.
I've got a really cringe picture of me with him at GAY bar when I'm looking very sweaty and greasy.
Oh, fantastic. And Sheridan Smith, thoughts?
What a set of cans on the girl. That was my immediate thought.
I do feel, though, with the UK one, like, we probably just don't have enough gay icons, or they're just not interested in Drag Race yet enough that we seem to not really have the same sort of calibre of guest judges yet.
Like, I suppose so, but if you, like, she's pretty big on the, like, theatre scene. She's been, like, in showbiz since, like, 2 pints lager and a packet of crisps.
Yeah, related to the main challenge, but then that really could just be anyone in theatre, and I don't know whether you know, but finding a gay person that works in theatre is probably not that difficult.
Oh, la la.
I have met a few in my time.
Michelle, looking beautiful as always. Although, I thought, are those bunches a little bit appropriative?
Appropriativo. I just thought that she was looking sort of like super, again, probably very appropriative to say, but super kawaii.
Well, that's what was my thought. I thought, like, oh, are we on the Hello Kitty challenge again?
Yeah, but giving you real sort of like 11-year-old schoolgirl. But I was kind of into it because the face has really been just really turning back time on that face, isn't it?
She is really a triumph of what money can do for a gal.
Yeah. You are not ugly. You are just poor.
Exactly.
I saw something on Twitter that was like, when it was announced that the runway was surprise, surprise, they were like, is it going to be a night of 1,000 sillas? Which I would like to see.
Yeah, I was surprised no one did a silla.
No. So our first thoughts on rats before we head into the nitty gritty. I thought they all looked like mice. I felt like a lot of them weren't sort of like gross enough. Like, obviously Bimini really killing it on that aesthetic. But yeah, I felt like a lot of them looked very like sort of like cute cuddly mice, which that's not how I picture London's vermin.
I guess, yeah, you probably would need to step into prosthetics to make it more ratty and vulgar.
Or just like rattier wigs. Lawrence just shouting everything in a Scottish accent. Now that's comedy, sis. That is comedy. Anything that they said, I was just like, it just sounds hilarious and fantastic.
Yeah, it's kind of just annoying to see, like, see, you could do it, couldn't you? Like, it was fine. Like, yeah, you, at the beginning with the little kind of like sidestep, you looked a little bit like you were finding yourself. But when he had to do his like lines, it's like perfectly fine. Like, all that drama for nothing. But that is literally always the way it goes.
Yeah, but he's a great performer.
Mm.
Obviously, I've written, I would die for Bimini. So
yeah, I loved Bimini and Horror. They were just great, particularly Bimini. She really embodied just like a nasty, nasty, ratty scumbag.
Inspired by you, I imagine. Yes. And I really thought as well that Bimini, the energy of Bimini really helped bring up Ahura as well, like, because you just couldn't have gone next to that and not really brought it, I think. Is Bimini going to wear them shoes for everything? Because I just can't believe, obviously, like, as we mentioned, she is literally the size of a small child, but she is serving you that tiny Russian gymnast body in 10-inch heels every time. Like, damn.
She's a pole girl. She's probably more comfortable in those than she is in flats.
True.
I was like obsessed with Ginny.
I just put demented.
She looked like a cross between Mad Madam Mim from The Sword in the Stone and Wurzel Gummidge.
She was such a treat. She just really providing that. She's really giving you just like comic relief throughout all of it. And I love her.
Yeah, we've got to circle back and give more props to Tia, because the casting was like, yeah, I can't really picture like how better it could have gone.
100%. Can you explain to me, please, why Tia had an ear on her back? This is probably so simple and so obvious, but
because there was that rat that they did the experiments when they grew an ear on its back to see if you can, like, what's it called, like, in the
genetically modify.
Yes, the one.
I mean,
so they can, like,
science.
So they can, like, grow ears on rats for people who've lost their ears and just sew it on or whatever.
Oh, fantastic. I've put, for someone that said their acting was going to be killer, I felt Astina's acting was very year 7 school play.
I wrote Astina Mandela wet fish.
Such a big fan of her, love her, but I just felt she really oversold how well she thought she was going to do in this performance.
If you just say you're so great at everything, unless you are, it is going to come to bite you on the arse. So yeah, have confidence, but you don't oversell yourself, because then it just sort of throws it back in your face, isn't it?
And one thing that I'm very interested in, because obviously with the Wimbledon challenge, they obviously were wearing their own outfits. I wonder whether they asked them to bring a rat outfit or whether they were given to them, because there was like a real variation in what they were wearing as rats. A lot of the costume looked like they had been made by the people. I think just judging by the sort of style of them, because Estina was very, very plain and very simple.
I think that's just because she's the ingenue. Like Bimini and Ahura were matching. All the Rat Pack were matching.
So you don't think they brought them?
No.
Oh, okay.
But wigs. Oh, yeah, because Bimini and Ahura had different wigs, but then all of the Rat Pack had the same wig.
But you did see Estina styling her wig in the workroom, that yellow and black one.
Sure.
So I don't know, but I'm interested that that's really shows you just how many outfits they have to bring.
Yeah. I was thinking that because like, if like one of our big crimps or whatever, that fills a whole box and that's just like one wig. Because I know like in previous series, people have said that like you're only allowed like two or three suitcases. But like that's your wig wardrobe alone. That like, they must have to make it.
But they have to get on an aeroplane. I imagine the actual queens that had to fly in was very limited. So I wonder whether actually like they are allowed to bring a bit more.
One thing I didn't need to see.
What was that?
Sheridan Smith giving like gun fingers at Bimini when they were doing the Bimini and Horror kind of like prodigy punky bit. It was
almost just as embarrassing as Michelle doing the rock horns in the rehearsal.
But I feel like she can get away with that a bit more than the pow, 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 a bit more than the sure.
A bit more than the
her. I was obsessed with Sister's face. If you're not giving face, it's just really flat. And I just thought, especially to stand out in the trio, like that's, for me, I think that's how she did it. Just constantly just acting with her face. And just
she reminds me so much of someone, the way she paints and her face. Like, I know I said that she reminds me of Crystal, but it's not that. Like, she actually looks, it's some sort of 60s, 70s diva, I think. There's something about her face that really reminds me of someone. And by hook or by crook, by the end of this podcast, I'm going to be able to tell you who it is.
Is it maybe because she did Dusty? So that's kind of...
Maybe,
implanted,
but,
in you.
But I can. I'm on the cusp of realizing who that is.
It's Veronica Green, everything. Rat Pack Fever. I thought when she came out, she looked just like a woman from the West End. She literally looked like a woman.
A West End Wendy.
Literally, I liked her when it was like spread your legs and make them peel. I don't understand what it means, but
I need it.
I was into it. Yeah.
Very controversially, I actually didn't really think much of Veronica Green.
Oh, I liked it. I thought she was good.
I thought it was just very generally good across the board. I thought all of them performed well. There was no Shay as Blac Chyna standout role for me. I just thought that it was a good level from everyone. And I think they all performed well and all sung well. And there wasn't really any shaky vocals. There wasn't really any bad performances. I just thought across the board, it was very good.
Sure. I think I would say for me, Veronica and Bimini were definite standouts.
Yeah. I would say, I mean... of all the performances, I definitely did love Bimini the most. Mm. I also need to find out who's doing the backing vocals on this. One of the West End cast that's obviously out of work while everything's asleep.
I was quite underwhelmed by Tia's kind of stealing the show moment. I thought from how they explained that the role would be, so you kind of like come on, say a bit and just leave like the biggest diva in the world.
I've earned my diva shit.
Thank you. But there was never, like, I thought there'd be like one big belter high note or just something that's kind of stood out, but it was all just a bit kind of One thing I will say is after seeing Cats in the theatres last year, never seeing it before, I can say with my whole heart that I believe Rats is a far more superior and sensical production.
A full sensory experience.
Yeah.
So now we're gonna head on to the runway. I'd just like to do a personal note. Now obviously we are here to uplift queer art, but I was very disappointed with the reveal runway. I thought, go on, girl, give us nothing.
You have it, fresh takes.
Yeah, I just want to point out that for me, the reveal runway is always, I love them. Like, we've seen some real amazing moments in the reveal. Like, and really at this time, I just thought they were just sort of like taking off one accessory. It was like, oh, here's me, I'm taking off my contact lenses. Like, it's a reveal. Mm. I didn't really feel the sense of, it was like night of 1000, like disrobings. You know what I mean? It's just like, I took my socks off. And we're really used to seeing, obviously minus the afro, we're used to seeing like the Brooklyn Heights reveal. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, so first stomping down the runway, we have Ahura.
And the first thing when they said, he's come to free the slaves, I thought, shout out to free the slaves. A nice bit of brand representation there.
Well, I was very dense, so I didn't really realise that surprise would mean a surprise. I didn't really understand it, I think, because I was expecting to see Cilla Black. So then when she whipped off the top hat to reveal that bloody gorgeous Nisha beehive.
I know.
The wedding dress. I thought it was great. I loved it.
That's why I'm trying not to be too salty. Like, obviously, we'll be giving truffles out of 10 for this. And I did give it 7 out of 10 because I did think I'm holding Ahura to a very unfair standard because I know that she's a designer and I know that she really knows construction. And that was my first initial thought that I was like, oh, it probably doesn't fit in the way that I've seen Ahura's costumes fit before. But
that's because it's got to transform into something.
I don't particularly want to see like someone in a smock that reveals to them into a unitard because I don't want it.
Sorry, what did you call me?
I don't want to know the reveals coming. But one thing I will say is she makes her costumes with her mum, which I just absolutely love.
So cute.
Yeah.
I gave it 9 truffles, bitch.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great.
And
it said it told a nice story. That's what I liked.
That absolutely. It did have a good narrative to it.
That is my narrative, Gia.
And then let's head on to Lawrence Cheney.
Now, remember in episode 1 when he said he wouldn't want to come out in tartan as that would be very predictable?
Turns out.
So, yeah.
I have put, it was disappointing. And I, again, very negative Nelly over in the corner here. I just thought that she has shown, first of all, like her entrance look, the construction of that was like, my first thing that I ever said on Cliffhangers was just like, her shape is so fantastic. Like she's got such a gorgeous shape.
Body, body, body,
and I just thought they both really just drowned her out. There was no, it didn't fit in any way. And even when it was revealed, the thing is that got me is I was like, okay, so there's going to be 2 outfits here. And it was like, right, okay, we've got the tart and we've got 2 outfits. We've got 2 chances to wow. Plot twist, both flaming hot garbage.
Ah! I did like when Sheridan said, Okai the Nunu, though, that's inspired.
we were speaking about breaking the fourth wall. Lawrence Cheney spoke on the runway, which seems illegal.
He did that last week as well.
I mean, the queens never do that. There's a real sort of, that feels like a real TV moment.
Yeah, maybe. My just general vibe of his runway was it just reminded me of getting dragged to like Scottish country dancing with my granny as a girl. So like, yeah.
But Lawrence does do her own hair, which was, again, not very inspired. And it really shows that I'm just trying to grab something nice out of
6 truffles from me.
I did 6 truffles as well. Straight on to our girl, Ginny Lemon.
Fancy a slice!
First question, but was it fashion?
But was it camp?
It was giving me very Victoria Wood via dinner ladies.
Yeah.
The reveal.
Can we talk? Yeah, they're like, the reveal is that I'm wearing the same dress. And I thought, oh. And then to see that little hairy butt window is so funny.
The first reveal, I was like, they are making a complete and utter Janet mockery of what a reveal runway is supposed to be. But then I did spy the Crocs and I was like, a platformed Croc. Very glamorous on a young lady.
And she had the Croc earrings as well.
Yeah, but when we got a view of that, of me airy ass, I just thought, that is the comedy. That is the way, again, obviously I'm going to say this a million times, but like, she wasn't going to give you sort of like narrative of like, oh, I'm going from beauty to the beast or whatever. Like that was a Ginny Lemon reveal. And I ate it up every single last morsel.
Are you going to consider putting some hole holes in the back of your trousers?
Who's saying I'm wearing trousers? I went 7.
I went 7.5.
7.5? Oh, we're going for half points.
Oh, yeah. I might get into
anything for Ginny.
3/4.
Okay. And next up we have Cherry Valentine.
The yellow Prego polka dot sensation.
I put gorgeous proportions.
I don't know where you're getting this cracker thing, because as soon as she turned with them cheeks and that black hair, I was like, it's your girl Raven.
I can't see it at all.
I can't see cracker.
It's crazy how the mind works, isn't it? It's crazy. The little gay baby narrative. Absolutely loved it.
Can't wait for this baby to get squeezed right through my rosebud.
She couldn't really. The thing that cracked me up, though, is like, you know, when you say something and they're just straight away. I mean, it's very me. Like saying something and being like, oh, damn, like this. I can't stand by that.
It's a bit too. Yeah,
her calling out her own rosebud.
Disgusting!
I was very into, even though I can't remember who cussed it out later, but I was very into the little Liza Minnelli bus driver. I mean, we're pretty much always going to be into her.
Yeah, for sure.
Because that's a little hard front number, but I thought it was very gorgeous on her.
I was with Alan, though. Like, I could see that she had a pregnant belly, though. So
yeah.
I wrote 7. Not much of a surprise, but super cute.
I also gave it a 7, and I just thought, personally, I'm very drawn to the idea of wearing a pregnancy bump if you ever have to be in a leotard. Just work smarter, not harder. Just like covering your gigantic belly with a baby bump. And then we head on to Tia Coffey.
The question still remains.
Truly. She opened this with saying, "This is typical Tia." I thought, does she have COVID? Because she's clearly lost all sense of taste. It wasn't for me.
The leather daddy look. It was just, obviously, I know you've got a dress tucked in there, but it looks like, you know, Andre the Giant. It looked like he'd been on like some intense diet where you just like, you've lost the weight, sure, but you've got hella loose skin hanging around. It just looked like that to me.
Yeah.
And then obviously the reveal.
I really hate it, Cathy.
I mean, she says it tells you a story. Classic Tia, it tells you a story and gives you a message. I don't want to know the story and I don't care about the message.
What is the story? Like, I'm playing a saloon girl in my school's primary production.
What blew my mind is there was like multiple references to it being a salsa and flamenco, which are two completely different outfits.
Donde.
Yeah, like flamenco and salsa. I was like, what? This is clearly a Smithy's Can-Can outfit. It's like, I think the whole aesthetic of it was very, very lost. But one thing I will say for Tia Coffey is she's really taken everything just very well.
Yeah.
And she, that's one thing that's like so sacrosanct to UK Drag Race is that like, no one's taking themselves too seriously. No one's going into Untucked and like, apart from Lawrence, unfortunately, but like really getting like beaten up about the critiques, I don't think. Because again, no one gets to critique your fantasy. And I think Tia, even though they cussed out her wig and her outfit, I think she felt gorgeous on the runway. And that's all that matters to me.
And so I thought a slick reveal, like it was just like done, but neither outfit would stand up against any of the other outfits. No. So I did six because it was a surprise, but not a good one.
I did a five. Now on to the beloved Ellie Diamond.
Sexy, sexy scarecrow.
I was really into the amount of detail. She's like, obviously a very detail-oriented queen. Like, I was in the amount of the work that went into it. But I did think the whole thing seemed a bit sheepish. One of the judges did say that later on. Didn't feel like she committed fully to the characters and it was like also character based.
Yeah, I thought the scarecrow was probably the best one, but like the Tin Man was just literally like a cheap foil silver dress. Like she took that off in like 1 second, like obviously. And then yeah, it's just like you didn't need to add that third outfit. You could have just made the other two better. I didn't really get why they liked it so much.
We will see this with a few queens that haven't come up, but I would much rather, if you're doing a runway, I would much rather have a smaller and less dramatic reveal at the expense of the actual costumes being shit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I feel like, unfortunately, there's such an expectation that's built up of like, these reveals are going to be like, you're going to strip down from like one incredibly elaborate costume to another. And I think that that's what really holds the queens back, that they feel like that they have to have this huge like internet moment where no one saw it coming. And I think, unfortunately, that has to always come at the expense of the costumes. And that's how I kind of just felt about generally about this runway.
Well, yeah. So I gave...
I'm at 7.
I gave a 6.5.
I gave 7 because I thought that there was so much work that went into it compared to a lot of the others.
Next to the runway, Ms. Astina Mandela giving us some kind of computer game sexy ninja.
I think this probably wasn't for me because I don't know the references, but I know that having seen on Twitter later on, there was like a very clear gamer reference that this was based on.
Oh, yeah, I don't know who specifically, but yeah, I could tell it's from like a beat-em-up game or something.
This, again, was not a reveal. She was in a bodysuit and... she just took a cape off. That's not a reveal to me.
Well, because... she took off the mask to reveal that she had the mouth.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It wasn't a reveal from the beginning, but then she really saved it for me to take that mask off. And I did like that.
It was fine, but it wasn't enough.
Invisalign comment killed me.
Gorgeous, but a bit plain, not much of a surprise compared to others.
But I think that's going to be a running theme with Astina. I think that it's going to be simplistic and it's just clean cut.
The hair and face, like neck up, was absolutely stunning.
Yeah, gorgeous. And I normally hate them bob wigs, but I thought actually, because it was very cosplay, I just thought that was great.
I reckon she just got that straight from Whitney.
Yeah. and I gave Astina a 6.
6.5 for me.
Okay, let's head on to Sister.
I wrote, first of all, sup. When she like leaned up on that thing, I was like, okay.
Giving you very Manila Luzon in the...
Oh, yeah.
The Whitney lip sync when she leans up against the wall. That's very nice. I just put love the drama, love the energy. This was absolutely one of my favourites. I thought what was great about her reveal is there was a real shift in energy, which is nice. Like, there was such narrative, like, and it kept on giving to me. The gift that kept on giving.
I loved when Adam Carr was like, oh, nearly split your difference.
And I gave Sister Sister an 8.
I absolutely love this. Being a tattooed queen myself, it's nice to see the representation. I know Aquaria did it a bit, but she did it very...
Oh, she did that amazing Michelle Lammy, which I loved, with the grey hair.
Yeah, but fantastic. Those... It was kind of like... Yeah, I've got some fashion tattoos, but this was like...
I'm a tatted bitch.
I've been getting tattooed. I'm like, I got no space left.
Yeah. So what did you give Sister Sister?
I gave Sister Sister a 9 because with the added bonus, when she lifted up the wig at the end,
that's
something I've always wanted to do, is just have an exposed brain underneath when in doubt, freak them out.
I also gave Sister Sister a 9 and it was, I think, probably my favourite.
Mm, me too.
Veronica Green.
Yes, it's giving us 50s housewife, but... The hair wasn't, honey. That was giving me a lovely Rachel Hunter.
When, I can't remember who it was that said that, like, when they first came out and saw that hairline, that was the first thing that I thought. I was like, why is there an inch between your eyebrows and your hairline?
Oh, honey. That
ain't it. But then, obviously, it was all part of the concept. And I didn't really feel like the two looks were that cohesive. But I thought in terms of a reveal, it's got narrative and I liked it.
Yeah, I said it's probably the most, like, conceptual.
Yeah, I don't want to compare it to the American, but I feel like on a runway where the standard was a bit higher, that probably would have just like sat in the middle. Mm-hmm. I don't really think like it was one to scream about. I don't really think from this runway there was like a scream moment.
Hasn't Raja done like a golden?
She did like a golden, kind of C-3PO.
Yes, exactly. With the reveal, I couldn't tell if she was being slow because she was a robot, or if being a robot was making her slow.
Chicken or the egg.
Yeah.
Okay, so I gave Veronica Green 8 for that.
Apparently I forgot to rate her. I'll give her a 7.5.
Okay, cool. So then next up we have Mademoiselle Tace.
Bleeding is fundamental.
Yeah, very much giving you Carrie on the runway. Yeah. Lots of Raja references.
Yeah. I'm here for red and blonde.
Oh, always.
Always. So,
and that was Bang London as well, which when they later on, yeah, I mean, that is not the critique that you want to be hearing.
What about RuPaul's down the high street buying?
Yeah, I was going to say, how disconnected are you from sort of like, you're not snapping that down, Peacock. For me, any outfit is really just notched up a gear if you cover yourself in blood.
Same.
It's always hot.
Especially glitter and blood together.
But reveal, question mark, technically that was just a 2-piece.
I said 7, which I might actually bring down to a 6.5.
I did.
I wanted more of a surprise. Obviously, she's gorgeous, but that wasn't really...
I was kind of relying on Tace to give us the wow moment, because I didn't feel like it was coming. So I did give Tace a 7.
Don't worry, she will.
But what I need to know is who the hell is getting the blood out of that £800 custom white unit?
Like, don't worry, it's water-based.
Tace, call us. but I just thought, like, that's real commitment to the cause, that gorgeous wig is getting covered in blood, because that could stain. Okay, then we head on to...
First of all, just very obsessed with her Mr. Peanut wig.
Definitely very much Peanut.
Which is by House of Peluca.
Which I really loved. I imagine Bimini designed the whole thing from the ground up, and I really thought that was a really very interesting wig shape to be given. And I just felt really fucking shit that, first of all, the reference obviously about the robotics with the, I think it was Shalom Harlow, I'm not sure, with the, in the McQueen show with the white dress and the paint exploding on it with the robots. Fucking great reference, but I'm just so gutted for her that it didn't work. Very very The Butterflies 2.0.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
No. I just mean it's just really dog shit when you obviously just rooting for the gals for it to be amazing, and I feel like it could have really been the wow moment.
Well, yeah, because that corset is like made of canvas by Misty Couture, so it's like that, just getting that alone just for the concept of putting paint on it is pretty mage.
It would have been an interesting thing to see how much the BBC actually covered this, because obviously Davina DeCampo has come out and said that they spoke at great lengths in series one about their trans identity and being non-binary. And,
who, Davina did?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And none of that was covered. None of that made the edit. So I'd be really interested to see how much that they would actually allow, because Bimini had both blue and pink paint, and it was in celebration of her trans identity as a non-binary person. And so I'd be really interested to see how they spoke about that on the show, if it had worked.
Yeah.
For Bimini, I gave Bimini a 7, but it probably would have been a 10 if it had worked, if it was honest. So I really hate that for them.
I said 8 for idea and looks.
Let's head on to the critique. So you can tell that Jess Sheridan is just a fan. The way that she talks to them, like, she's just happy to be there.
Yeah, sure.
But it did all seem, I felt like the critiques was a bit wishy-washy, to be honest.
I know it's a thing that people do say.
What's the thing that people do say?
Well, just like, you know, the mark of a true professional was like just to get back on it. But I think a mark of a true professional was just to never falter and just be on your shit all the time.
Yeah. But accidents do happen.
So next, the judges discuss Cherry Valentine.
Yeah, Miss CV.
I thought it was interesting that Michelle said she could really see her sweating, because I didn't really. I didn't pick up on any kind of nervousness or uncertainness in her performance. Yeah. I thought she was good, better than Lawrence, not as good as Sister. I didn't think it was like a standout being in the bottom.
And also Rue said as well, like, it's no secret that I love Lawrence Chaney, which I thought was wild. Like, so very early on to be like, I love them.
I think Rue just loves anyone that she can give a name catchphrase to.
Yeah, true. Lawrence Chaney!
Can you turn down your gains, please?
Sorry, maybe I just won't shout.
Next, then they move on to Tia. And I thought this is very interesting. So Michelle has given us the English version of Party City, which she says is Angels. And if you don't know, Angels is like a costume hire place in London's dazzling West End, which I thought was a bit more upmarket than
100%,
Party City.
100%.
We got Smithies. And if she thinks Angels is Party City, she needs to go and see Smithies.
I was going
to
say, because they sell Smithies at Angels, but it's not the only thing they sell. They're actually like they do costumes for like the BBC and for theatre and stuff.
Yeah, so you could get some Angel, like Romeo and Juliet massive wings from there.
Yeah, 100%. Again, American people telling you about British culture. Who knew?
Ellie Diamond. Again, I did not need to see Ellie and Sheridan acting hip hop at each other.
Yeah.
Veronica got great commentary. Then Tace, who just, oh, how can you say anything mean to someone who just looks that gorgeous?
I wouldn't dare.
But yeah, she did get red a bit. Redford the Red.
And then we move into the untucked section, which I always love because then it's the queens talking about the other queens rather than the very questionable comments that the judges make. This is what I want to hear. One thing I would say is they didn't have any mention of Bimini explaining about the trans rights concept, and without that was the whole concept of the costume, so I feel like they must have edited that out. And to be honest, that makes me think defund the BBC.
Yeah, like we mentioned earlier with Lawrence, if someone is being a bit annoying in a group or just stressed, it does affect the group. So I found it quite annoying that
they just can't take criticism.
Coming for Sister so much, she was just basically kind of being honest, being like, are you okay? Because,
and to your face as well.
Yeah. So I didn't really appreciate the
raising valid concerns about how your behaviour affected the rest of the group.
Yeah, like Sister might have been in the top if Lawrence wasn't there.
At the time, she was hugging you, making you feel better, and is now bringing it up later on saying, well, actually, it did have an effect on us, but we didn't want to say that at the time. Like, I mean, I wasn't here for it, but
I was very much enjoying Veronica just sitting there as her robot, like secret silent assassin, just drinking her drink. Like, I didn't say shit. You'll find out who's going to be winning at the end.
Ooh, a stinger was when Veronica said that she feels like she doesn't exist outside of drag. It really made me feel like drag is so important for some queer people that don't feel like seen and don't feel like maybe have, as you're really seeing in this season, don't really feel have the confidence in their boy drags, that then they really get a chance. This character that they create is like everything that they don't feel like that they bring as in their male representation. And I just thought drag is such a necessary outlet for some people.
Well, especially in her case, if she's been trying to make it on the West End stage for 15 years and then it's like, all right, I'll try it in drag. And then so far, so good. So you would kind of just be like, okay, the drag me is the better one.
Veronica, I think you picked the right job rather than musical theatre. Being a drag queen, it suits you much better. You can have much more freedom of expression there. But Veronica, even though I completely understand that she is a bit more reserved, she does very much give me the energy of someone that's like stumbled into the meet and greet early and she's surrounded by the stars and she's just trying to keep quiet just so that nobody notices that she's not one of the drag queens.
Well, maybe she'll be a bit, coming off the back of this win, maybe she'll be a bit in your face.
Imagine if she just was like so arrogant next week, just being like, I deserved it, which we had this week, actually. Even though I completely get Tace was wearing a two-piece and it wasn't really a reveal, Tace wearing a bodysuit off the rack is such a huge point, but Astina was allowed to wear an ASOS jacket and that was celebrated. I celebrate both of them 100%. Like, I celebrated when Asta was in that ASOS jacket because it is a very, we're getting into a very weird world, especially in the American drag, when actually your ability to create costumes out of nothing, especially, and out of low means and not having to have loads of money behind you is kind of getting lost in the world of like people being like, right, I'm on Drag Race. I need to find £50,000, get everything custom made for wigs, costumes, everything. Mm-hmm. And it's more of a showcase of the designers. I know that Evie Oddly spoke about this on Twitter recently. So I really celebrate people wearing off the rack. And even though with the taste thing, like, that was not off the rack. It was used as a cuss for something that they didn't like. Like, it needs to be more cohesive. That are we celebrating that people don't need to have like custom, like really elaborate custom things made, or like what's going on? Mm. What are your thoughts on that?
It is hard because obviously, if there's like an item that's like been made by someone amazing that's got 50 million like rhinestones on it and like tassels and giving you the ooh ah sensation, that is going to look better than a Topshop to like twin set or whatever. But then like that isn't a reflection on your talent. That's just how much money you've got or who your contacts are.
Then we need to talk about accessibility, because then you're just basically saying that like in order to succeed and be loved on Drag Race, you need to have money, because people are not going to appreciate looks if... I wasn't really feeling a horror when she was like, this disgusting to wear an ASOS jacket, because the thing is that she still won.
Yeah.
We're existing in a strange time at the moment where people, the sort of punk aesthetic of drag that like you're just going to either just throw on something that works with your narrative, or you're going to make something out of nothing, which is where drag started. Like, that's getting a bit lost in this idea that you like need to have custom commissions made for each runway, I think.
Mm. And obviously every person is different. Like, maybe you like high street clothes.
Yeah, 100%. So then we go on to the deliberation. And I just want to say, Rue made it very clear that he absolutely loves Lawrence Chaney, which is very early on in the season. He was like, I make no apologies for how much I love Lawrence. I was like, okay.
So the bitch is biased. All right. That makes three of us, I guess. what I thought was a good thing to bring up is when Michelle said that she wasn't even sure if Tia shook that wig. And just to let you people out there know, if you don't know what a shake and go is, that is basically what people say. If you buy a wig and then you just take it out the bag and plop it on your head, you give it a little shake out the bag and plop it on. You haven't brushed it, you haven't tonged it, you haven't styled it. So that, my friends, is a shake and go. So Michelle saying, I don't think she even shook it, is like the biggest cuss you could have.
Yeah, she's basically saying this wig hasn't been styled in any way, shape or form. It's basically the wig equivalent of bedhead.
I didn't really understand why they were gassing up Ellie so much for her performance, because she was paired with Tace. And I thought out of the two, maybe biased, but I thought that Tace came across as much more the more confident performer. Yeah.
Maybe that was a bit to do with the TV editing, because I feel like I don't really remember that much from Ellie's, not in a negative way, but I remember Tace's because she sort of had a close up and I felt like she did have a solo line.
I just felt like Ellie was a bit like tentative.
Oh, really?
Mm.
I feel like maybe Ellie, we're kind of seeing in the runway a bit, I feel like Ellie maybe does lack slight confidence, but she is about 16 years old, so... What about the moment? Sorry, I had to go away from the mic there because I was going to piss myself laughing. What about the moment when Alan said, I just wanted to see her go back to... It was so shit that I just wanted to see her go back to dressing like a boy. I thought, have you just said that you would rather she just gave up drag than be in that outfit?
Well, I thought he meant he preferred to see her in the leather daddy outfit, but maybe it was a call to disaction.
Really? Like, please step down. So then...
Veronica Green is our winner this week, episode 2. Congratulations.
Yeah, and you felt good about that.
Yeah, I felt good about that. But what I did not feel good about...
Can you believe the bottom two? The bottom two are revealed as Cherry Valentine, a front runner, and Tace.
For the last 2 weeks, all the girls I've given my top truffles to have been safe or in the bottom. None of the girls I think have been the best have been in the top. I don't know. Have I got shit for brains? Have they got shit for brains?
Well, I mean, the judging, much like the judging on Canada's Drag Race, the judging has been really called into question by a lot of people online.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. Yeah, they're losing their goddamn minds about it. I mean, and on the pod here as well. Like, I mean, it's been some very questionable judging, I would say. But this week really hit me like a ton of bricks, because even the thought of either of these going home, like, I feel like Cherry Valentine entered as a front runner. Like, she is so well-rounded, and just, I feel like she brings a really nice energy to it as well. So I hated that these two, this really, I was...
Well, yeah, when they said Lawrence was safe, like my heart just sank because I was thinking, well, at least it'll be Lawrence and one of my honeys.
Mm.
But no, it was double honey. Honey on honey violence.
Yeah. I just want to say that before this started, there are a few lip syncs that go down in the pantheon of moments of performance art, which are timeless.
So when this song came in, I was literally like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah,
give
sure,
the girls
sure.
a dance track. Stop with like, oh, we're giving them English songs or UK songs. Like, give us a fucking track we can bump to. But then, like, 3 seconds in, I was like, oh, no, absolutely fine. No, like, forget what I said. It was just...
forget what you've heard.
Literally insane.
I mean, when Tay said, touch me, I was like...
That's what I've written. Touch like, me. I then just went like... And my boyfriend was like, what happened? What did she do? And I was just like, nothing. Like,
it's just her being.
Everything. Something. I couldn't even describe it. It was like so small and so like...
Oh, nuanced.
Subtle, but it was just like...
Physical
it was
dexterity.
Literally everything. And yeah, I think like this is going to go down in history as one of the most like iconic, powerful like lip sync for your lives.
Can you tell me what you would say in your top three have also been the top lip syncs for your life as seen across Drag Race?
Well, first of all, the ones I think that it will be... The ones that people talk about the most is Latrice Royale doing Natural Woman.
Oh, what was little Kenya Michaels dancing rings around her.
Teeny tiny antelope. And then obviously the late, great Chi-Chi Devane doing...
And I'm telling you.
Yeah, which was just like... It literally has made my sort of body go cold. All my like arm hairs go on end, like goosebumps.
So incredible.
Lump in my throat. Like she is a international... She's an international sensation now. Like, that's it.
Yeah, so for me, I feel like that's a lip sync that's just going to transcend the show.
Yeah.
Transcend Drag Race in general.
Yeah, that's going to appeal to anyone that likes music.
Performance.
Visual.
Yeah, true.
Women.
And the eyelash that was hanging off. Come on, that shows vulnerability. When it cut to Michelle with her mouth open, I was like, same. Like, this is... jaw-dropping. And one thing I did think is, like, obviously they used to, when they're watching from the back, they used to your Evie Oddleys and your Brooklyn Heights, like, boom, scatting and doing Cirque du Soleil around the stage, seeing all of this, like, crazy performance. That was the park and bark. Like, literally all they could see from the back was just, like, them standing there giving pure emotion. I hope they felt it from the back. I
hope they can just read it from the judges' eyes.
Well, Astina was crying. So I feel like they must have felt, like, the intensity in that room because we sure as hell did. In that final 30 seconds, I don't think I had to, like, remind myself to breathe. I was literally, like, it's like I came up for air. I was like, like, just absolutely mesmerizing.
I don't think I can bear to watch it again because it's...
Oh, I couldn't.
I don't like to feel emotions and that brought out too much in me. I can't go through that kind of harrowing...
You can't open that Pandora's box.
No. Don't bring her into this, please, for the love of God.
But unfortunately, when RuPaul giveth, he must also taketh away. And that was our beloved Cherry Valentine.
Who left us with the line, every day is Valentine's Day.
And I believe it. I'm going to think of her on Valentine's Day.
Me
too. Truly.
Let's send her a card.
I was absolutely heartbroken to see her go. I just think that she was a front runner from the beginning. But hopefully maybe we'll get a Drag Race twist of fate and maybe we'll get to see her. I'd love it.
At the moment, I'm going to need it to be like a 6-person lip sync for the crown because I've got too many favourites going on.
But that's the thing. It's a testament to how the high quality of the show because they are... so sensational that even the queens that maybe I don't particularly, they're not my favorites. When I go online, I just see people going absolutely crazy for them. So at this point, it's like, it's always going to be someone's favorite that goes home.
Mm.
So like, that's just how good the queens are. I saw that someone had written on Twitter, is RuPaul smoking frack?
Lol.
They are truly making some wild decisions.
It's making me think, have I got no taste?
How dare you? Don't you ever second guess your own taste, Luki. And remember, this is the second episode. This is like finale shit that you should be this invested. But again, the girls are so good. And especially knowing them, like you just love them so early on. And we got to see a peek into next week, which was very, very exciting with Fashion Frenemies. I wonder who will be... I don't think a lot of queens would class themselves as fashion girls this season. So very interested to see... hopefully they pair, like, I don't know, like Tace with Ginny Lemon and that sort of frenemies. But you know, obviously they're going to put Tace and Uhura together and try and make them bonk.
Make them bone.
One thing I did notice, it's definitely the season of the beret. Every time it cuts to someone, they're in a different beret. It's like the season of premature balding. I don't know. Why are they all...
calling people out left and centre.
And, sorry to shout on the pod, but we get to see Jordan. Our girl Jordan Dunn looking gorgeous and resplendent next week.
Just a couple of subtle shoulders.
Oh, of course. So that was just all very exciting as we get to move on to next week. Okay, let's enter my favourite section, season 3 Dreamcast.
I'd like to see Ms. Frida Slaves on season 3. Mainly just to get that name known and respected. Yeah.
Truly one of the greatest London drag names.
She has a beautiful daughter called Releasa as well. So,
oh my God. I mean, quick side shout out to, do you remember seeing her perform at Bethnal Green Working Men's Club?
She is Rihanna, basically.
Honestly, like sometimes you see... sometimes it's very much more female delusion than illusion, but like the illusion, her Rihanna illusion is, I'm going to come out and say, I think... one of the best female illusions I've ever seen. Oh my God, yeah.
One word, powerhouse.
True. I mean, perfect. Perfect word, powerhouse. For my season 3 Dreamcast, I would love to shout out Niall Candy. They're just one of the most stunning London queens, always serving, always have hair done by Paris. First of all, chef's kiss. Chef's kiss. But just one of... the most gorgeous London drag queen / models. They are always serving sort of like very beautiful Nadia Auerman, like Mugler woman, and just such an incredibly and exquisitely turned out queen. Love to see them.
Congratulations, gals. See you next season. So let's find out. What's the buzz, babes, with Georgie B?
I've only just got that now.
Sure.
So we have the gorgeous, the feared Georgie B in the studio with us. She is a performance artist. She's a creative director. She's a self-entitled. She's a self-titled slut for money and a music video ho. We are talking to the winner of Miss Sync the Pink 2016 and the first AFAB queen to ever win. She has appeared in British and Italian Vogue campaigns for Byredo, for Gareth Pugh, shot by Nick Knight. You've seen it. She's done it. It's Miss Gorgia B.
Hiya.
Hiya, love.
Hiya, baby.
You let that Bristolian accent just soak through the headphones. Okay. Welcome.
Hello.
Okay. First and foremost, I think we should ask you, what did you think of episode 2?
Do you know what? I actually really enjoyed it. And I don't know why I said that, because I really enjoyed the first one as well.
You're not really that much of like a Drag Race stan, are you?
No, do you know what? I'm not. Normally I don't watch it because I actually find it quite... I find it all like very like screamy and yelly, and it's a bit upsetting for my spectrum-y brain. But I've been really enjoying this one, probably because I do know people on it. So I've more kind of enticed in. But yeah, I loved it. I thought it was amazing.
That's what we were saying. It's like as soon as you know someone well on it, it's just like, ugh, it just really kicks it up a notch, doesn't it? So good.
This time it's personal.
Okay, so we're going to talk about now, most importantly, they want to get to know you, Georgie B, you know, a little insight into you.
So as we said, you were the first AFAB lovely woman to win Miss Sync the Pink, actually winning it the year before Miss Bimini Bamboolash won. So there is a lovely line of legacy there. What's it like being a woman in the London drag scene?
Well, for a starter, it's very welcoming in the London drag scene for women. I personally feel like nobody's ever said anything nasty to me.
Oh, that's fantastic. I think that's a British thing.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
It probably is, isn't it? But I found it really just everyone's very welcoming, and they want to push me harder, and it's all very nice and lovely.
Was that your first introduction to like drag on a big scale, Miss Sync the Pink? Was that sort of like your introduction into the London scene?
No, it wasn't. I was dancing at Metropolis at Savage Disco, which sadly isn't happening anymore. Oh. But it was like the longest.
Pull one out for Savage.
I know. It was like the longest running weekly disco in London for ages. It must have been going for like 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah.
But we did all this dancing and like hosted by just fabulous queer people.
Mm.
So there was loads of drag queens, loads of queer nightlifers. It was just fantastic. And that was my first sort of toe dip into the ocean that is drag. From there, I got asked, please, will you enter Miss Sink the Pink? So I did.
By Sink the Pink, did they ask you?
Yes, they did. That's how they do it. They ask people to.
Oh, answer. Like by request only.
Yes,
interesting.
It is by request only.
So that seems a lot more prestigious then.
Yeah, you have to be plucked from the atmosphere. You can't just be like, oh well, I'm Miss Sink the Pink. Mm-hmm. I am one of those.
Yeah,
you can't
especially as well at that time in sort of our drag landscape, it was really hard to get an in on the drag scene in London. I think like at this point we didn't really have a drag scene where there was opportunity for loads of girls to have gigs all the time, because we didn't have a lot of like regular drag spots. And I think Miss Sink the Pink was like such a huge thing. I remember it being such a huge thing when you won it, because that's like a real introduction into obviously the platform of Sink the Pink, which is like a huge drag collective. So it was such a huge moment for the AFAB gals.
Well, it's a big, it's the biggest drag competition, really, this side
absolutely.
Of the world, probably. Because, I mean, I was the last one to be in Bethnal Green Working Men's Club. But, I mean, it was those days were really fun and brilliant. But it then moved on to the Troxy, and that's, I think
huge.
It's...
huge.
What is it, 3,000 people?
Yeah, and they sell out every time.
They sell out every time. So
Can you tell us about your winning number? I do personally remember it, but tell us about
it. Do you remember it? Okay, so my catwalk look was, I called it Lady Pasta because I didn't know what to call it. And it was just me, and I had, bless him, Joshua, my partner. He sprayed some foam lagging, some builder's foam lagging that you put around pipes to keep them insulated. He sprayed them and painted them yellow for me. And I just carried around this huge like pile of noodles. And he made me a macaroni hat. Yeah. And I had a macaroni leotard on, which was lovely. And then my number was Donna Summer Hot Stuff. And I did actually notice a slight little throwback to my outfit in the episode 2 of Drag.
Bimini and Uhura.
No.
Oh.
No. The really nerdy one.
Veronica Green.
Yeah, I like her. I like her a lot. So she was doing like a sort of burlesque thing, wasn't she, in the Rusical? And she had a little animals hanging off her titties.
Titties.
Multi-nipple
titties.
Look.
Multi-nipple look, yeah. And I did have a few people text me going, see that multi-nipple animal little...
I've seen it before.
Look, I've seen that before. And I was like, yeah. but no shade, I did love it. I was basically a sexy cat, a pedigree cat, and I had these little kittens hanging off my six nipples, basically. And I just... I still don't know how I won that, to be honest with you.
Through elegance, class and talent,
yes,
Georgie.
That's what happened. Elegance, class and talent.
The nipples.
Yeah, it was the nipples. I don't know. I did a lot in that number. I still think it was too much.
And what's been your favourite conceptual look that you've pulled so far in the world of Georgie B drag?
I'm going to say the poodle. It wasn't very conceptual. The concept is poodle.
I mean, the concept is there.
The concept is there.
I really like your little muscle.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about
that. And also,
her.
Shout out to the beauty table
right
as well.
There.
Shout out to the beauty table.
Oh, sorry. I've not even talked about the actual conceptual numbers that I've done. I've done so many and I haven't spoken about any of those. Yeah, the muscle, everybody loves the muscle.
Yeah.
Mm, I love that. I'm a muscle. There's the concept.
A little bit of orange scalloping.
Come on. Paper mache.
I need to ask you now, as a figurehead of the East London drag scene, were you aware of the East London Clapham beef?
There is none. What is
it? I personally have never heard of any beef between any of the surrounding riverons of East London.
No, there is none. That was all made up. That's for telly.
I know, truly. They really want to shoehorn some drama into their dinner.
Yeah.
Have you ever worked in Clapham?
Yeah, actually.
And absolutely yeah. welcomed.
So, yeah, no, it's brilliant. I mean, I've never worked with any other drag queens in Clapham.
Yeah.
But maybe there's not that many. I don't know. Mm. Maybe it's just in coffee. I ain't got a clue. I did have a brunch in Clapham.
Oh, lovely. Where?
At Adventure Bar. Me and Mahatma Candy. And it just, they let us really go wild there. So I did Rain On Me there. That was the number where everyone
Oh,
wanted.
Again, shout out to Rain On Me.
More. But basically, I just ended up getting soaking wet every single brunch.
Yeah.
And it's to a point where it wasn't really even Rain On Me anymore. It was just like waterfall on me. and we just turned it into a Baywatch number because it was just like waves.
Do you remember Bimini's number that they used to do in, what's that place
the
next
milk
to?
One.
Yeah. No, you know the one next to Freedom? That like brunch place there that they used to do. I believe Taste does it as well.
When they're like out in the street.
Yeah, and
stuff.
Bimini used to like go into the street in her
Martha's.
Little... Yeah.
I also used to do Martha's. And I'd like to take an opportunity to say, fuck you, Martha's. Because you're actually liquidated now. So I can say that. But basically they tried to not pay everybody. And they were horrible people.
Pay your queens.
It's fine. I got my union onto it and I got paid in. Oh,
there you go.
You.
Drag is not cheap.
No, it's not.
So, do you want to shout out any drag royalty from London that people might not know of?
Yes, I do. I'm going to talk about my wonderful house. I mean, it's not really my housemate, is he? It's my neighbour.
He's in our bubble.
He's in my bubble. So, I'm going to talk about Amanda Pet. And if you don't know Amanda Pet, then... Basically, are you even a drag appreciating? Mm. Like, for me, Amanda Pet has done everything that I would ever want to do and more. So, shout out to Amanda Pet.
I refuse to believe anyone in London has not seen or been to Pale Blue Door.
I know. And you know what? If you didn't get to go...
Fuck yeah.
What I would like to say about Amanda Pet is I think Amanda Pet... can teach younger queens so much more than even Drag Race or anything
100%
like that, because there is just no one comparable at all for me, and it's so much more about entertaining.
Yeah,
and the looks are fabulous, but if you're not actually entertaining, are you actually a drag queen? For me, you have to be very funny.
So yeah, shout out to Pet.
Look her up, Amanda Pet.
Can I ask now, going back to the episode, what was your rose and what was your thorn of the week?
Oh, my rose. Do you know what? Like, the Rusical as a whole, I thought was one of the best Rusicals
really?
That has been done. It was really good.
I agree. Mm.
The whole thing was really good.
I felt like the writing as well, anything that is musical on Drag Race is normally... She's a bit hokey, and I thought the writing was really jokes as well. I thought it was just like a very well-crafted piece of theatre, the whole thing.
A lot better than that Downton Shabby or whatever the fuck that was last year. Although I believe Baby Lane wrote that.
That was shocking.
Listen, and you would do it too for a check.
It was shocking. Sorry, Baby, I love you, but I didn't like that one.
I feel like maybe you have to write, in defence of Baby Lane, I feel like maybe you have to write everything that is so punny and so easy to act because you're not writing it for actors.
Yeah, exactly.
So I stay away from blaming the writing. It's probably normally the Queen's.
Yeah, no, we can't blame her.
Yeah,
and we would. And my also rose of the week was I thought that because I mean, I was just not a fan of Tia Coffey. I was like, oh, no, it's not doing it for me. Sorry, girl. And then I really liked that she wanted to make the Rusical good.
Yeah. We said that.
I liked that. I thought that was really like admirable to be like, okay, well, I'm actually going to not sabotage everything here.
And you're only going to fuck yourself over.
Yeah, like... so I liked that. I thought that was quite nice. And then the thorn of the week. Do you know what I'm going to say?
Is it about to get messy on the pod?
No. I'm going to say tea or coffee again.
Ooh, right. Shout out.
Listen, because that reveal was... I'm sorry, girl, but that was fugly.
I really don't like it, Kat.
Very that. Yeah, I didn't like it. Mainly because, and I said this to you already, I thought she looked like, you know, when you go to like a medieval village for like a day with like
Renaissance
school.
Fair.
Yeah, for like a day with school, and then you all get given a shitty gown, villager outfit to wear. That I was like, oh, okay, what's this? Reveal? It was that. It was just like it'd been pulled out of a fucking Renaissance bin. It was horrible.
Yeah,
so if you've paid money for that, please get it back. Because actually, no, don't. It's not their fault either. It's yours. Sorry, tear coffee. It was horrible.
My rose was probably the full tattered bodysuit.
Yeah. Very that.
My thorn is probably just the judging so far.
Yeah, real bone of contention with a lot of people, a lot of the viewers. And then for my rose and thorn, my rose was specifically, it was going to be very vaguely like the last 30 seconds of the memory lip sync. But for any viewers watching, we will attach a picture of this very specific moment on our Instagram. But it was the, after she just raised her eyes, it was the slight head tilt that tasted in the lip sync. If you know, you know. It was the cultural reset. She is the moment.
She really is.
And then my thorn is, really sorry, gals, hate to call you out on a public platform, but it was the lack of reveals. I love the reveals so much. And I just wish the reveals had been more revealing.
Sure. Who do you think did the best reveal?
I would say probably Sister. Just because I felt a real good shift of energy, real good narrative. But I also like Veronica Green's, but I just didn't think either of them were... I needed a moment and it didn't happen for me.
Well, you can't hold anything towards Sasha's rose fantasy because nothing, I don't think.
I don't even think of that as a reveal though. That was just like performance excellence.
Sure.
Like, I would say when we're talking reveals, obviously the classic Roxy Andrews wig reveal, the Brooklyn Heights minus the afro, obviously.
Sensational.
We've seen quite a few fantastic reveals over the time, but maybe also Ginny Lemon.
Yeah.
Bringing a completely different flavor to the reveal.
And that's all wrapped up for episode 2. Well, if any listeners have got any thoughts or like we missed anything that you thought was a real good point to make or you want to...
Or just hate mail.
We'd love to have a new section called Hate Mail of the Week. So feel free. And that's it really. Thanks for listening.
If we're going to pass our judgment on the queens, I feel like you should at least be able to pass judgment on us. Tell us, go through my Facebook. Tell me where I look ugliest. thank you for all the support for the first episode. It's been, we're having a ball, aren't we, Luke?
And please, if you can leave us a lovely little review on Apple Podcasts.
Oh yeah, head over to Apple Podcasts. Tell us if you loved it, if you hated it. If you hated it, maybe keep it to yourself. So from us in the studio, thank you for tuning in for the second episode and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.